The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Plays podcast. He's Logan Murdoch. I'm Kareth Burke. We are presented by Wendy's. Thank you, Wendy's. And Logan, right off the top, I think we need to let people know when we are recording this because things are changing hour by hour, day by day. It's Monday, the 16th of March, 2020. Yes. It's a little bit
more. Where are we supposed to be right now, Kareth?
We are supposed to be in Toronto. Where is that a game scheduled in Toronto? And just as I look at the calendar, it has not been a week since the Warriors played their last game. They played on Tuesday the 10th. It was that game against the Clippers. It was the last one the Warriors would play before the season got suspended. And so much has changed in that time. Like, today, the shelter-in-place notice came out. So people living in six Bay Area counties need to stay at home. Shelter-in-place. Like, we went from going to a basketball game with 18,000 people to wondering, like, oh, shoot, can you believe the NBA might have to play these games without any fans in the building, to no one can leave their homes in less than a week.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
I mean, I'm glad that it's happened. I think in the last podcast, me, James Hamm, and Monty Poole were talking about the notion that the league was saved from itself, that they were going to play out these games. And I think that this is the best way to be safe. And I'm sad that the league is gone. I think Kendrick Perkins, he tweeted out, he was like, I guess I'll do a Kendrick impression. Man, I'll never take an NBA season for granted again on my mama. And I was like, yes. Yeah. No, I will not. Me either, Kendrick. I feel you.
Yeah.
And so I quote tweeted and said mood, and he was like, it's torture. And I'm like, yes, Kendrick, it is torture right now.
Yeah, it is on hiatus right now. It's just suspended. I don't know if it'll be canceled. But like when the CDC announces no gatherings across the country of 50 people or more for 8 weeks, I read that like, oh my goodness. And then Adrian Wojnarowski, thank you, did I get that right?
Wojnarowski, yes.
He has been reporting that NBA owners are preparing for a three-month hiatus, which that would be mid-June before the NBA comes back. And of course, I'm with you. All of this is for health and safety so people don't infect each other, so our medical system is not overwhelmed and so people can live. But as we think about like the ripple effects of this, like, this is, I've never experienced anything like this in my lifetime. You talked to Steve Kerr, who's been on this planet a little longer than both of us. Like, he seemed pretty shocked. What would you say were the major themes of your conversation with Steve Kerr?
I think the major theme is we don't know what we don't know. We don't know when we're going to come back. No matter what date is put out there, we don't know. And the second thing was, man, we got to be responsible humans. That means we're self-quarantining, keep your distance from people, make sure that you're not touching people, make sure that you're washing your hands and washing your faces, and making sure you're being healthy as possible. So I think those are the two main things that I got from the conversation.
All right. Well, let's let the people listen. When did you talk to Steve? So we can put this like in a time and place.
I talked to him Saturday. So it was about 2 days ago. So before the latest round of social distancing measures have gone on in the Bay Area.
All right. Here's Steve Kerr on the Run and Plays podcast presented by Wendy's.
Hey, business owners. Logan Murdoch here for Bay Alarm. Has the pick and roll become a problem at your business? You know, a piece of equipment that is there one day and gone the next? Put a stop to it with Bay Alarm video security system. Whether you want security cameras to keep an eye on things while you're away or professionally monitored video verification system proven to reduce theft and prevent false alarms. Bay Alarm's got you covered. So give them a call and get protected today. Bay Alarm, what have you got to lose?
What's going on in the life of Steve Kerr?
It's only been 2 days, so not a whole lot. Just staying in the house, staying in, reading, watching Netflix, and not knowing what to do with those sports on TV.
What are you watching? Like, what's on Netflix that you're watching that you may have caught up on that you haven't been able to in this time right now?
Watched The Crown, and okay. I finished up The Crown, which was great.
Okay.
I don't know if you watch it. It's really really well done. Okay. About Queen Elizabeth.
Okay, I ain't got nothing but time. I'll probably watch that myself at some point.
That's good. There's three seasons, and I only had a couple more episodes left, so I finished those up. And my wife and I started watching something called The Stranger on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are your personal habits kind of changing? Because, you know, we're in this new world and new space where it's like, you know, especially in America, you don't know who's tested, who's not. How do you maneuver through life during this current climate?
Well, I'm trying to just stay in the house as much as possible. So I went to the store yesterday to get some provisions and, just made sure we had a lot of stuff. My wife had already been, so she made sure we had a lot of, you know, canned and dried foods and, you know, stuff that we can have on the shelf that'll last, and just not planning on venturing out much just because of everything I'm reading and what we're supposed to be doing, you know, in terms of the social distancing and all that. So, that's the other thing. I've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I'm thinking this whole thing is going to definitely spawn a new Curb Your Enthusiasm season with Larry.
Yeah. Is that something you're excited about? I know when this goes, hopefully this comes to pass, but is that something you're juiced about next time you see Curb? Next season?
Next time I see Curb, I'm going to just chuckle thinking about Larry. He's been, you know, probably at home chuckling to himself thinking, I'm going to use this for a whole season.
Yeah. And, I mean, you go out and about, obviously, you have a little bit of fame around in the Bay. Like, do people try to steal, we talked about this offline, dap you up, like, hey, is Steve Kerr around, and I want to shake his hand. Like, have you had those interactions yet?
Yeah, I've had a couple people try to shake my hand, and I just give them the elbow.
Okay. But, like, let's go back for a second. When do you think that this virus really got on your radar as something that was really, really serious? Because I know, you know, it was serious overseas, but, you know, in the States, we didn't really know what to make of it. When did you feel like you and the organization kind of was like, okay, this might be something?
I think Tuesday night against the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Everything felt weird. It was like, you know, the crowd was you know, at the beginning of the game was maybe half full. You know, everybody was contemplating what was happening. But I think we were all sort of unsure of what to do. And then over the next couple of days, everything kind of went past the tipping point, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some people that had already arrived, it just, I think for society at large, it's definitely over the past few days. And I think the sports world has had a lot to do with that. You know, so many people follow sports and watch sports. And when all the sporting events started to shut down, I think that made people, or helped people realize how serious this is.
When you saw that, and How do you coach through, you know that this is happening. This is probably something that's going to be real. How do you coach through that?
Well, we really only had a couple of days of that. You know, I mean, we first met with our team doctor maybe a week and a half ago, and he was pretty reassuring in terms of, you know, what it meant for, you know, our health. You know, he talked about the importance of hygiene and, you know, keeping doors open, propped open, so people aren't using the door handles. And, you know, he talked about how we were supposed to carry ourselves. And so there was, you know, there was concern, but I think everybody felt like if we followed the rules, we were going to be all right. And that was, you know, so there was only between the first meeting we had with the team doctor and the time the season was shut down, it was like 10 days. So, you know, I referenced it a couple of times during those 10 days to the team. All we could do is continue to remind the players to practice good habits, and we had to keep preparing for games in the midst of all that, and not much else you can do.
Were you scared when Steph came down with something that wound up being the flu? Were you scared about that when you just hear, oh, Steph's sick? Was there an icky, I don't know, was there something that you thought, man, this might be something?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I felt guilty because, you know, he had played in a Toronto game, and then the next day we went to Oakland for that march and for, you know, some meetings. And when I heard he was sick the next day, I thought, oh, man, you know, I needed to send Steph home. He hadn't been sick the day before, but it was a big day, you know, with him coming back and expending all that energy and emotion in the game. And I felt, when he came down, I felt somewhat responsible because I had invited him to take part in the Oakland festivities. But he assured me that it had nothing to do with that. But yeah, we all were very concerned that, you know, that maybe he had the coronavirus, and that's why our team doctors were very, very much on the case.
Yeah. How does it feel to be in this state of unknown? I know you guys might have a clear picture maybe tomorrow. Are you guys meeting tomorrow? Or are you guys just going
to... No, the NBA is supposedly going to reach out to everybody on Monday with more...
Not tomorrow, yeah, Monday.
Yeah, more guidelines as to how we're going to deal with this from a practice standpoint. And, I mean, it's pretty obvious nothing's going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
You know, in order to shift the momentum on this thing nationwide, feels like we'll need to shut things down for several weeks at a minimum.
Yeah.
So we will not be holding any practices. Yeah, but we'll wait to hear what the NBA has to say. And, you know, we'll make sure we're taking care of our players and making sure we're following all the guidelines that the experts lay out for us.
With that being said, you know, how do you coach a team with that unknown, right? Like, you don't know when you guys are coming back. You don't know if there's going to be a season again. I mean, you could put any date out there, but there's still an unknown of when you guys will come back. How do you coach knowing that players, you know, you don't know what kind of shape they're going to be in. You don't know pretty much anything going forward. How do you lead under these circumstances?
Well, what we told them the other day in our meeting was to make sure they took care of themselves from a conditioning standpoint. If they were going to be locked out of the facility, which is a possibility, I told them almost treat it like a house for break, where even though you're off and you're unsupervised, you got to treat it like play a game sometimes. And so I think guys are going to make sure they, you know, get exercise in, you know, conditioning in. And if somehow we crank up the season again, then I'm sure the league will give us some practice time and we'll find a way to be ready for that.
How close in contact have you stayed with the guys, or have you treated it like an all-star break where it's a break for all of you for at least a couple of days?
Well, it's only been a couple of days, so, you know, we met 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. It's today, Saturday, so we met Thursday afternoon, and, you know, I've texted with a few of the guys, but for the most part, you know, we're all living in a new world and trying to adapt. And really what that means is, you know, self-quarantining and just trying to take care of our families.
Yeah. Do you, is it weird having a break around this time of the year? Because, you know, this is usually the time you guys ramp up for games or doing something. And now it's like a spring break kind of like, except you're staying in the house, of course.
But, yeah, it's really weird. I mean, you know, this time of year, you either sense the playoffs or you sense the end of the season coming. And we were obviously sensing the end of the season coming. We only had a month left. And strange to have everything cut short. You know, you want to finish the season. And we had many goals that we wanted to achieve, getting Steph back and playing different combinations together and trying out some new things. But really, that's, you know, there's no harm done. I feel really, really bad for the teams that are in contention, you know, who have put together, you know, great teams that have a chance for the title and now are sitting at home wondering if there's going to be a season. That's, you know, that's tough. That's really tough. I feel for those guys. Yeah. Just like for all the college kids, the young men and women who aren't going to be able to play in the tournament. It's just sucks.
How frustrated, I know you quote tweeted the Post Malone concert. How frustrated have you been about maybe the negligence or also with our president right now, who doesn't seem like doesn't really have any answers for us either, and talk about the lack of testing. What's been the most frustrating thing that you've seen in the wake of this virus, this pandemic?
Well, you know, I don't really want to get too much into that. I think the biggest thing now is to share as much information with each other as possible and do everything we can, because there really is a responsibility that each one of us has, mm-hmm. To fulfill as best we can. And so everybody needs to be educated about social distancing and hygiene, and, you know, coughing into your arm instead of your hands and not shaking hands and, you know, everything that we're learning. We need to share that because, you know, everybody is sort of learning this, you know, on the fly. And it's, as we saw from, you know, the concert the other night, you know, there's still people who aren't understanding the severity of this and the reasoning for, mm-hmm. for what we're trying to accomplish, which is, you know, the number one goal is to allow our doctors and healthcare workers the space they need, and they keep the numbers of patients down so that they can take care of people. Because obviously, the more overwhelmed the care system gets, you know, the fewer beds there are, the fewer nurses, the fewer ventilators. You know, that's when disaster strikes, and so we all play a role in that. Whether it's protecting ourselves or protecting our family, protecting people we don't even know that we've never met, it all matters.
When it was another thing, you guys just announced that you guys are donated $1 million to the workers and arena staff. How did that come together from your vantage point, and what does it mean that the Warriors, including you, because it said coaches and players have all donated, mm-hmm. to that pot. How did that come together for you, and what are you, you know, why was it important to do that?
Well, I think immediately there was concern amongst our organization at every level for the hourly workers who were going to miss out on so many paychecks, so many game nights, and their ability to be able to sustain themselves and their families during this lockdown. And so I know, you know, Steph and I went separately to Rick Wells and each asked him, you know, what we could do, and Rick ended up connecting us on the project and with Joe and with people with the Warriors Foundation. And, you know, we kind of brainstormed and this quickly came together, and something I think we're all relieved about and thankful that, you know, we can help to look after the people most affected by this.
Mm-hmm. And before I get out of here, if you could be clairvoyant, Steve, what do you think is going to happen over the next time with the league? Do you see a season coming back? What do you see going forward?
I think it would be irresponsible for me to even make a prediction, because I don't have any idea, and I don't think anybody really does. So I think we all just have to follow directions and hope for the best.
Okay, wait, one more question before I go. How were you the night that, when you saw Gobert, what was that night like for you when Gobert wound up contracting the virus and that whole OKC game? What was that like from your vantage point that night?
Me and my world, mm-hmm. you know, in our world in the NBA, that was the tipping point.
Yeah.
And I think the tipping point for, you know, the portion of the country that is sports obsessed and that bases a lot of their time on, you know, watching highlights or watching a game, you know, that moment was when everything changed. It went from, you know, wow, what's going on, to this is it, this is real. And, you know, I think it was important for the league to go ahead and take that step and to have other leagues follow suit and for everybody out there to start understanding, you know, why we needed to practice this social distancing and self-quarantining.
Mm-hmm. And you guys were leading up to that. Y'all were talking about, or you guys were going to play a game without fans. Like, how were you preparing to do that? How were you as a coach preparing to do that? We haven't seen that before.
Well, I mean, we were going to have a shoot around yesterday morning. That was the plan, or I guess Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to talk about it, but I mean, how do you prepare for that?
Yeah.
You know, I know I would have been pretty self-conscious about yelling at the refs. I know that the crowd noise wouldn't cover up.
Yeah.
My work. I would have been a little more self-conscious about, you know, what I was yelling to the players and how I was yelling to the players. It would have been really weird. It would have felt like a scrimmage. It would have been really strange.
Yeah, that would have been weird. I don't know if the media was going to be in just then, but it would have been an experience. We would be able to hear you. That would have been fun for us.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you.
All right, Logan.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Logan, nice interview. Great to catch up with Steve. I'm at a point where, like, the world has come out from underneath me so much. Like, the rug got pulled. It feels great even just to hear his voice. Do you know what I mean? sort of sense of like, wow, like, guide us, Steve Kerr, you sensible leader, you. Like, do I need to stay indoors? No problem, buddy. I will for you because you asked nicely. You know, that kind of stuff. It's like, oh God, I just wish everybody could be as sensible as Steve. Just look out for other people, right? Shelter in place.
It was weird though, because it was like the conversation It was a cool conversation to have because it felt like a sense of normalcy, you know, just to talk to Steve. We do that every day. We probably won't have that for a minute, but you know, he did give us some TV recommendations as you heard of the pod. So
that was Crown.
Is it good?
I don't know. I think it's good, but it's definitely not for everybody.
I don't think
you're gonna watch it.
I might. I was like, I don't have, listen, here's the thing though. You know how like in normal circumstances where you're like, oh, I don't know, I'm gonna watch this show or whatever. I don't know, man, I don't have the time. Now we literally have nothing but time. What are we doing, right?
Oh, we are sheltering in place. We are running in place.
We are not running plays. We are running in place.
Running in place. I gotta get these workouts in, Logan. I've got like my yoga mat. I have a little set of weights. We can go outside. People are allowed to. Yeah, you can walk your dog. You can go outside for a walk. That's okay.
Just don't be near
people.
Listen. You know, antisocial low is ready to be out in this world. We can do this.
Well, to Steve's point about we don't know when anything will be back. Let's just say the Woj report is correct. 3 months from now is mid-June. And the dates that the NBA had planned were regular season ends April 15th, May 19th, draft lottery. June 4th, the finals begin. June 25th is the NBA draft. Oh, and the Olympics are supposed to start July 24th, you know, TBD. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about a mid-June return? Maybe? Like, what kind of run-up is that? Like, do teams get to practice leading up to that? Is that a first practice day? Like, how do you even spread out these playoffs? Do playoffs start immediately? Are you even going to go through the regular season?
Steve said that they'll probably get practice time, you know, if that happens. But honestly, man, that's a we'll see what's going to happen. I mean, the corona don't care nothing about your plans, bro. Nothing.
No, it does not. Okay. All right. Let's say we were some of the masterminds in like this planning room for the NBA. Would you prioritize ending this season on a good, fair note, like letting it play out to the playoffs, letting somebody, you know, somebody is a champion this season? Or do you kind of have to throw your hands up, recognize this coronavirus stuff is like act of God that just screws up everything, and do you start next season as normal as possible? What do you do?
I keep the season as it is. I mean, if we can do it, I play the season out just because there's so many legacies on the line. There's so much that, you know, we have to it's something that's like LeBron James, for instance, he doesn't have many years left. You want to make sure that he has a chance to win a title. Giannis, you want to make sure that he has a chance to win a title. There's a lot of things going into this. I say play it if you can, and we'll figure out whatever comes after that. But I would like to see players get into the and continue their legacies.
Yeah, I do too. There's such a finite window of time for this stuff, like entire moves over the past, like three, two, 1 years, whatever, like super teams combining for these windows of time. And what if it's like, well, sorry, like that's not a satisfying conclusion to anything.
No,
but
not at all.
But I don't know how you execute this. I don't know how you do it. So maybe you don't get a tidy resolution. Maybe you have to just prioritize next season because of the degree to which things have already been screwed up. I don't know. I hate this.
It's what we'd like to call a conundrum.
Okay. How about Klay Thompson? Klay Thompson had ACL surgery on July 2nd of 2019. What if he's better? So a year from now would be, you know, July 2020. What if he's eligible to play at the end of the season? Do you let him play? What if KD and Kyrie are ready to come back? What do you
do? I don't let Klay play, but if Kevin's fully healthy after a year and they're in the playoffs, yes, you want to see them play. But I mean, Klay's doesn't really have anything to play for, so I let him sit this one out.
If he's cleared to play, would he play? You know, he would fight to play.
Yeah, like physically fight to play, yes.
Yeah.
But
I think he should not play this season, even if next season, even if the season doesn't end until, like, I don't know, August or something like that. But it just brings up some interesting conversations or circumstances. Like, what do you do? All of this is, this particular situation, like, unprecedented. You know, we've seen lockout seasons before, but this is something entirely different. I guess one of the reasons why I would like to see the season resume, like, you can't just throw it all out the window, I think, is because of the sports ecosystem and people who rely on this game. We're talking about arena workers, vendors, security people, because I want to see those people get paid. You're seeing those stories about how it's hard out there right now for people. You've got some folks living paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. People need their jobs. They need their purpose. They have to feed their family. So, you know, and I'm looking at those stories too, Logan, where players are chipping in. They want to make sure the people who surround them, who run these arenas, are going to be taken care of. And that's really powerful. Do you think it's been enough so far?
I think that I feel like it's unfair for the players to be footing this bill for team employees. I feel like owners should have stepped up sooner. I know the Warriors did, and they did a great job with that. But I do think that a lot of the onus fell on the players to, oh, I guess we're gonna have to we're gonna pay for this. We're gonna do these things. Whereas, you know, I think the owners who employ these people on a part-time basis, especially with the Warriors who own the facilities that they play in, to, you know, foot the bill for these people. These are low income. A lot of times people of color, low income, from low income families, like, they survive off of this. And, you know, I was a bit disappointed with the ownership groups. It just seemed like the players were footing the whole bill, and I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. The Warriors Foundation, pledged $1 million to help arena workers. I see your point, though. It's like, this is where, to me, I see the wealth disparity the most. Maybe mm-hmm. it's like a microcosm for America. You have very rich athletes who are, they've got their market value, but that's what the market determines their worth. And then you have people like the lifeblood that make sure these arenas stay open so the players can play. And those folks are struggling. Yeah. So if those folks can be embraced, that's the best outcome there. Kudos to the Warriors for what they've done so far. And then how about Steph and Ayesha Curry helping out local children with their Eat, Learn, Play Foundation? They teamed up with the Alameda County Community Food Bank to provide thousands of meals right now to families. I don't have children. I know you don't have children, but I'm trying to imagine, like, how would we feed these mouths right now if we had kids? Like, low-income families, you can get breakfast and lunch at school. So you know your kid gets at least two meals a day. Like, that is so important for people. And with schools not in session right now, I can't imagine the headache and heartache some parents are feeling about how do I get my family through this situation. So the Currys helped alleviate some of that with this food bank donation. And it's just, I don't know, in the tough times, you can see the good people. And I'm really thankful in all the ways that folks are coming through however they can.
Yeah, no, it's been a good sight. We knew that about Steph. Monty Poole wrote a good thing about him today, but Steph's always been in the community in that way. And I'm happy that, you know, he's been one of the people to, you know, help out during this time, because listen, it's going to be rough. It's going to be a lot, really rough, before it gets better. So, you know, we just gotta get through it, and they're helping out.
I think you see how much the gig economy is not made to last, and how many people are paycheck to paycheck. And maybe, I don't know, my heart is aching. It's like, I'd love to see more of a social safety net, I guess. That's all I'll say about that, I suppose. But take care out there. It's really hard out there right now. I mean, even we work among freelancers who rely on sports. And if sports aren't being played right now, how do they get paid? This is tough times. I think you see, like, the impact of sports across the country too. I know I'm funneling this into a sports conversation, but that's what we do here on the Run and Plays podcast. I know it's much bigger than that, but just as I think about people beside us in the press room, you know, like our friends, like freelancers are going to struggle mightily right now. You see how much sports is a lifeblood across America, and it's impacting everybody. It's really hard.
Yeah. Well,
I don't really know how to end this one. It's serious, but I'm glad people are taking this seriously. You know, this kind of escalation, we were talking about what was happening, like not even a week from today when the NBA was still playing, but this escalation of steps to see if we can keep people safe and uninfected. It's important. So I don't know, man. What can we expect in like the next 36 hours, Logan?
Oh, no, man.
But for now, it's refreshing to hear your voice, to hear Steve's voice. I hope everybody's doing well out there.
Y'all be safe.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Run in Place podcast presented by Wendy's and Bay Alarm. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
All right. Bye.